Yeah, that's me.
All right.
Oh, you sounded like Daryl for a minute.
Yeah, now we need to wait for Daryl.
Should I sit on the... Well, actually, I'll scoot over so Daryl can have the end.
There's okay, another seat.
There's
over here
another seat on the other side.
I could even move down, too. I wouldn't care. Would that be easier?
No, that's good.
Okay, well, that's fine. It's all about teamwork.
What's a good...
What?
Oh, sorry. Where's the other seat?
Right here. Right
here.
Right there. Gonna sit right by the chair.
Cool.
You know, now that we do that, it's gonna be boy. Oh, well, it's not gonna work. I was thinking.
It's gonna be boy, boy.
Yeah, I was thinking boy, girl, boy, girl. Was
but you know, yeah, that. Well. No, actual, no.
No,
it wouldn't.
No.
Is there a good time during the meeting on the agenda? I need to make an announcement at some point.
Well, at the very end of the agenda, it says announcements, final announcements.
Okay.
You think that would be a good time?
That's probably good.
Are you going to tell me what I don't really want to hear?
Possibly.
Okay. But I'm hoping it's what you really wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to steal your thing.
Let us see here, coffee. I'll try a coffee cake.
Sour cream coffee cake.
It was good.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the breakfast, Wes? That's what I thought. Yeah.
Did you have to wait an hour and 45 minutes for it?
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, it was served yourself.
No one's been impressed with that.
Oh, was it buffet time?
This morning it was.
Oh, so it was faster.
Did you get good food?
I'm kind of glad I went to Skeeter Barnes last
night. I didn't think it was that
yeah.
My family was in town. Just had, to me, a better
oh, you did. Good for you.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Skeeter Barnes. Well, I've yeah, been to the one here in Kearney and one in Lincoln. Boy, they are terrific. Good food.
You're right next to me now. All righty.
Oh, here is...
And you're the reason we're
here
going to start.
Here is the late...
What time is it?
It's
9:45.
No.
I don't
know. Okay. I think since we're really late, we're going to get started now. Hubert, are you ready to go?
I'm going.
Kathy?
Yes.
Okay. I think we're ready to go then.
All right.
I will call the meeting to order and welcome everybody, and we're sure glad that everybody came with us, and I hope you find the meeting interesting. We're going to have an interesting focus topic that Brianna Jesse's going to give to us in just a minute. But right now, I would like to ask one of my board members to read through the agenda. Any volunteers?
Oh,
here, write that one.
I'll do it.
Okay, Daryl, thank you.
Okay, 9, call to order. That I screwed up already because of my lateness. Followed by general introduction of all present. Then we'll have announcements concerning public comments, meeting recordings, lunch arrangements, and other logistics. Followed by that, minutes of the May 10th, 2008 meeting, 9:15, focus topic, senior blind specialist position, 10:15, public comment, 10:25, break, 10:35, report from the chairman, 10:45, report from the executive director, 11 o'clock, public comment. Then we go to old business in 11:10, biennium budget request, proposal, 11:30, NIS update, 11:35, NFB newsline update, 11:40, client assistance program, CAP complaints or issues, 11:45, review of staff survey, new ideas, and possible changes. 12 o'clock, public comment. 12:10, lunch break. And we have new business. At 12:40, we have election of board officers. 12:50, executive director's goals, fiscal year. 1 o'clock, possible executive session regarding message from virtual suggestion box, 1:15, public comment, 1:25, focus topics for next meetings, review of proposed time and places, November 22nd, 2008, Lincoln topic, which will be working with employers, focus on employment. The February 7th, 2009 will be our next meeting. Topics, group home teaching sessions, May 2nd, 2009, Columbus. Supported employment is the topic. 135, public comment. 145, final announcements. 150, adjourned.
Thank you, Daryl.
I have a question. Do we need to announce where the public meeting law is posted?
Yes, we do. Thank you for reminding me.
I have a print copy right here. Do we also have
public meeting law, Braille copy on the table here, and also a print copy on the table here by me.
Okay, that's a good thing because I do, generally speaking, forget to remind people that they're here because we want to be lawful and that needs to be present at our meetings. I think we'll go around and introduce ourselves. We'll do the front table here first. I think we'll, let's see, how we do this. Let's just start with Kathy down there, and we'll go my way.
Okay, I'm Kathy Stevens, and I'm administrative assistant for the commission.
Julie Johnson, commissioner from York.
Wes Medeiros, commissioner from Lincoln.
I'm Nancy Altman, I'm chair of the board.
Jimmy Urach, representing the American Council of Blind in Nebraska.
Daryl Walla, commissioner, vice chairman of the board, in case something would, Nancy couldn't make it or something, which will never happen, we hope. I'm from Omaha.
And I'm Pearl Van Zandt, executive director of the Commission for the Blind, visually impaired. Terry?
I'm Terry Haney. And I'm here as a guest speaker, I guess, or whatever. I live in Lincoln. And I currently am working with GED students in mathematics.
Wow.
I'm Marietta Sims. I'm from Kearney, and I'm here to say thank you.
I'm Deanna Jesse, and I'm the program specialist, and I'm from here in Kearney.
Hubert Paulson, driver, reader, recorder, whatever.
I'm Myrna Hansen, and I'm from Juniata, Nebraska, and I'm a driver.
I'm Artis Earl from Grand Island.
I'm Becky Bartlin, and I'm staff assistant in the Kearney office.
Okay, is that everybody?
I'll add that Daniel Bird is also a driver from the Omaha area. He's not in the room right now, but he probably will be here part of the day.
Okay, that sounds good. Good to get that on the record. Next, we have announcements, recordings, lunch arrangements, and other logistics. For the recordings, we have microphones up here in front, and they're very powerful microphones, people, so if you have something that you don't want to be on the recording that will be posted up on the website, it might be better to not say it or take it out of the hallway to say it or whatever. And we all need to be mindful of that, commissioners, too. Public comment. We have a policy that the commissioners get to ask the questions and make other comments until we get to the public comment area, and that's the time for you guys out there to tell us, you know, anything, any questions on the topic we're on, or any other topic for that matter. It doesn't really matter if you have some question that you would like answered or a comment that you would like to be made. Feel free to do that, but only in the public comment time.
Can I add something, Nancy, real quickly?
Okay.
It's been suggested in the past that if people need to leave and you have a burning desire to say something,
to catch my attention, yeah. Catch my attention, and we will try to accommodate that. I'm a pretty free-flowing spirit. I break the rules occasionally. Time constraints sometimes are not followed very closely. If I feel like the discussion is important, if it's getting to be redundant, we are going to go on. But if not, we will continue the discussion, whatever it is. Let's see. Maybe we need to make an announcement as to where the restrooms are. Pearl, can you give us a kind
sure.
of a description of that?
When you leave this room, you go almost an immediate left, and I think they're both on the right, very close to here. I know the ladies is on the right. People are nodding. They're both on the right.
Okay.
After you've turned left out of the room.
Okay. And I think that we also, lunch arrangements, what's happening for lunch? We're always hungry around here.
Ramada Inn is going to be catering our lunch. They're going to bring little finger sandwiches and some chips and salsa and a relish tray and I think some type of a sweet cookies or something, I believe. And then, so that should happen.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. And okay. Bear with me a minute. Okay, I think we're up to the focus topic now, and
We need to do the
minutes. Sorry about that. You're right. I skipped over. We need to. Firstly, I think it would be appropriate to have a motion and a second, and then if there's discussion, we'll go from there. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion to approve the minutes as they are. Is there any discussion about the minutes? Incidentally, they are posted on the website, so if anybody is interested, there's Kathy's fine rendition of the minutes, and there's also you can do the recording thing now too. Listen to the whole time, which was a lengthy meeting last May. Are there any discussion from the board? Okay, I will do roll call. Julie?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
And I concur, so the minutes will stand as on the on the website. Okay, now we go to focus topic, and it's my pleasure to introduce a lady who was formerly my counselor and is now the new specialist for the senior blind, and she's going to do our topic today. So I'll introduce Deanna Jesse.
And I have sent a lot of information out to the commissioners about what has been going on the last year. I will go over that because people in the audience out here won't know what all we've been doing. It's been a busy year, and I think we've gotten a lot of work done, and I know we have a long ways to go. One of the things that I've been working on right now has been getting letters of testimony from individuals to take out to the Appropriations Committee members and senators to let them know about the services we have been providing, the benefit people are receiving from that, and those are very important. I have 23 names, I think. Don't have letters in from everybody, but it's a lot of people, it's a lot of good information to give to the senators so that they know what does go on in our services. The other thing we've been trying to get going is a survey with the Mississippi State University, an older blind survey. That has not gotten very far. Just yesterday, I called them again to see where that's at. And I've emailed and left messages, and Bob's called, and I'm not sure. My message yesterday was, please call and let us know if we've done something out here that has stopped this from happening. Because I started the conversations in March about the survey. And in June, finally, the gentleman that is supposedly working on it emailed me and said, we'll have a proposal together within the next week. And it's continued on like that. So I'm not sure what the problem is.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Deanna, did the messages that you've left in most recently, are they to the gentleman? I would suggest Monday call the head of the place.
The head, okay.
And just say you need to know what's going on.
Okay.
Deanna?
Thank you.
Yes.
What is the purpose of the survey? What is it trying to find out?
Yeah, I'll tell you what the goals are. The overall purpose is we want to use the information when we go to the Appropriations Committee to help us request and get money to expand our older blind services. That's the overall goal that we think we can accomplish with this. The specific goals that we've set up for the survey is to identify the unserved and the underserved. And they will work on identifying the unserved by surveying people, for example, who take the Talking Book program but aren't in a program with us or never have been, to find out why they aren't. Have they never been contacted? Have they, you know, did they just have enough family around to help them? Those kinds of things, they will be able to find that out. To identify people at risk, and that is at risk of being placed in nursing homes or being placed in a more restrictive living situation. Another goal is to identify their satisfaction with our services, to identify the impact our services have had on their independence, to identify the unmet needs if we're not covering everything that they need, to identify how increasing our funding, which would lead to additional staff, working with additional clients will relieve other financial burdens, to determine the difference in the acceptance rates of OIB services. And that actually came about, they sent me a survey that they did for Florida, and when I was talking with this gentleman from Mississippi State, he said something like, well, everybody accepts services. And I said, well, everybody doesn't hear. And he said, well, in Florida, everybody that they contact accepts services. And I said, well, I want to know how they do that, because we know not everybody accepts services. So we thought it would be interesting to figure out what's causing people to accept services and not accept services. And the next goal is to project the number of individuals who will be blind by the year 2010 or later. And the last goal is to identify the need for employment services in OIB, in the Older Blind Program. Employment services would not be part of the program that I'm in, because that would end up going back to our VR program. Mm-hmm. But just from my friends who are older that I know are still working or looking for jobs, I know that any more older people are having to work much longer than ever. And so I think this is, in this survey, this is the group of people we need to ask those questions about employment. Because if our other program needs to be getting geared up to do employment services with older individuals, we need to know so that we can do that. So it's those kind of questions that I think we can go back to the Appropriations Committee with that information and say, here's reasons why we need this money. Here's reasons why we need additional staff to get out there and work more consistently with our older blind. So we're hoping. When I first started by June when I was talking to him, the goal was that they would have the survey done by the 1st of December. So at this point, I don't know. And that's something we need to talk with them about. If it's not going to be, then are we going to proceed?
When you
if it's
say
not going to be helpful. Yeah.
When you say the survey done, you mean them writing it, or you mean people
completed
it?
And we have the product in our hand, end product.
Is this, Deanna, is this the same individual that was here a couple of years ago and did that workshop in Omaha?
It's the same,
it's the same
university, but not the same person.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So, anyway, I have another name. I will contact someone else on that. Yeah. The gentleman is very nice. He seemed easy to work with, and I'm not sure what's happened. I have been contacting all of the area agencies on aging. In fact, I have met with all of them in the last year. I'm now doing my second rounds, and again, in trying to get information our contact with the Appropriations Committee, we are doing just a very, very short survey with them. And I did, somewhere here I have the questions. And it's just four short questions, I believe it is. And it really is to just give us some quick information about the number of clients that they have who have visual impairment. First of all, we give them the legal definition of blindness. Then we give them our definition of if somebody is just visually impaired having functional difficulties. The questions then are, how many individuals does the person serve? How many would they identify with a vision problem, enough that glasses isn't helping? And then the next question, how many would you say their vision problem is a significant issue, therefore legally blind? And then the last question is, any comments or suggestions for the commission? And we're getting really good information. So far, we've been invited into 6 of the 8 area agencies on aging. We are surveying their Medicaid waiver staff, and so they don't get them together every month. And so we're finding that usually when they're having like a quarterly meeting or something like that is when they're inviting us back in. But it's good to get those numbers, and the numbers, and some of them are very surprising. I mean, it's a high amount of people. But the other thing is just continuing to build the relationships with those groups. I'll try to tell you, I have a couple people here I want you to visit with too, so I'll just try to tell you some of the highlights. Some of the things I've worked on didn't work out, so I'll skip over those. Our support staff is helping us get our services listed in the yellow pages under senior services. I was looking up something one day and discovered there were like senior centers and sometimes area agencies on aging listed in the yellow pages. Again, we want to make ourselves available to families and individuals, especially when the family's starting to think, oh, mom and dad might need to be put in a nursing home or assisted living or something. Where do they start getting their information? Almost all of us turn to the yellow pages at some point. So possibly they will find us there and make a contact of us sooner. Pearl, did you have a question?
Yeah. You mean the yellow pages or blue pages?
The yellow pages.
Really?
Yes.
And is that in the Kearney phone book?
Yes. It's in the Kearney phone book, but I've looked in several. I think when I was in Norfolk, we opened it up, and they have senior services listed in the yellow pages. And so far, the offices that have done it, there's no cost for this.
That was my next
Yeah,
question.
It's a free thing.
That's a good thing.
So I think what some of them have said is you can have one free listing in the yellow pages, and so we're getting it in the senior services.
All right,
so,
great.
Yeah, so I'm really thankful that the support staff is helping with that, because once I started it in Kearney, I realized I couldn't possibly do it for the state. It was too much. So, and then Becky in Kearney is helping me here get that done, too. In March next year, our agency, our senior services, will be highlighted in the AFB senior site as the agency of the month. They've started a new thing this year in May, and so they go around, they're doing state agencies and private agencies and just highlighting what the services are. So that will be fun to have our services highlighted there. I've done some training with the Money Follows the Person new staff that are out in the field now, and I think that went really well. They had a lot of good questions, and they're out there working. Their purpose, again, is to identify individuals who are already in nursing homes, who, with the correct training or support services, can be moved back out into the community. And so that was a good fit for us to work with them. We are going to have in North Platte, September 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, it's called FYI, Four-Year Independence. It's the new program that sort of took the place of our Home Teaching Plus, which is for 55 and over, and it's a training program. It's a little shorter. It's about, it covers 4 days. It's more like 3 days of training split over 4 days. And Angie Hoff from Scotts Bluff and I are organizing that, and we're already having people sign up for it, so we're looking forward to it.
When is that?
In September 15th through the 18th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Denise Johnston, Rodderkust, and I are going to have a booth at the Optometric Conference here in Kearney on October 24th and 25th, and Denise is going to be one of the speakers for one of their workshops. I have been meeting with a couple different senior groups. One is the Caregivers Coalition out of Hastings, and we did a Day of Caring in April, and so I had a booth there and helped organize that. And then I meet with the senior group, the senior care group here in town, and I have been a speaker there, and I also did Talk of the Town, which is a radio show. So that gets some more information out there. Bob Deaton and I spoke at the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind in Washington, D.C. in April. So that was fun to do, and it was a good experience. The VIPS groups are asking me out to talk about the new program, and so I think that's a good relationship-building opportunity. So I've enjoyed doing that. I've gotten around to all of the offices, to all of their office meetings so far this year, or one meeting in each office. And when I go out, I always make an offer if they have any older blind clients they want me to meet with, that I will schedule them in. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. So we are looking at trying to work with the census reports and get, again, some more statistics. And so Bob and I are trying to look into some software that might help us work with the census reports. And we've started visiting with senators to talk about our program and our budget needs. So that's not quite all I've done, but that's the stuff, I think, the highlights of it. And I'm starting to work with clients again, and that's fun because I hadn't done that for a while. So that's nice to get out into the field. And so, do you have any questions before I introduce the two people?
I just have a basic comment. I thought that you and Bob and Becky with Chris from Iowa?
Yes, Criswell.
Criswell did a fine job, and it was very very informative.
Thank you.
In Bethesda, Washington, D.C., whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
It was very good.
Yeah, when we spoke, there were three other people. I think there were five of us all together, and we spoke about our programs. So, yeah, it was nice.
Well, I just wanted to comment on the brochure that you guys put together. I just thought that was...
Yes.
I was so impressed with that.
Excellent.
It was very upbeat. But some of the things I liked on it was the testimonials that were at the end and how positive those were. But the main thing that I really thought was of importance that might catch people's eyes, especially seniors, was the helpful hints that were on there, because it all of a sudden gives these newly blind seniors who don't have any idea, they think their world is over, that they can, maybe there is a way I can distinguish money or set the thermometer the way I need to have it, or, walk out and get my mail, or whatever it may be, and the kinds of things. And I really thought having those helpful hints on there to a family member or being read to a newly blind senior was just absolutely outstanding. Very good. I don't know exactly. I'm sure you and Bob probably had lots to do with that, but whoever did the input on it was just right on. And
thank
I hope
you.
It gets out there very widely.
And I want to say that Bob pretty much, he really did that brochure. It was very well done. And I have been getting that out. It's actually not in brochure form yet. It's still pencil just on the on paper, but mm-hmm. I have been getting that out to area agencies on aging, and I did get a card back from the Omaha Area Agency on Aging after I sent it, and Rita Finn, who's there, said she really liked the information and she really enjoyed reading those testimonials that were on there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it makes
was,
a lot of difference.
It was very, it was factual, but it was positive and easy reading. Make you want to go to the next paragraph to read a little bit more. It wasn't so tedious that you think, oh, this is, you know, it's good information, but I'm getting bored. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of a brochure. It was really good.
So, Deanna, is there any plans, do you know, of when it's done and so on, the brochure and so on and so forth, whether there's any plans of putting a copy of that brochure on a website?
I believe it might already be there.
Is it? I didn't look.
I believe it may be.
I think it is.
I put a lot of older blind stuff on the website from the last month, and I believe that was one of them.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, and we have talked about some other things. At some point on the website, we'd like to be able to let people write in questions or comments or put ideas, things that I could respond to, that I can look up, and somebody's having trouble doing this, sort of a question and answer thing. We talked about doing a response kind of thing like that. We're just not quite there. So
it takes time.
Yeah. If you ever have chance to look at the American Foundation for the Blind.
Yes,
their senior site. They have a kind of an interactive senior site where you can write in questions or that type of thing. And it really is kind of interesting. And so we're kind of thinking that type of thing where we can have a little bit of, conversation with people on the internet, on our website, so others can look and say, oh, somebody else asked that question. I've been wondering about that all the time. So we'd like to be able to do that.
You know, I'm just thinking to myself, but I'm wondering, all of us pretty much on this board belong to one, organization of the blind or another, and I'm wondering if there's, and a lot of times we have, I know in Grand Island we've had a couple of people come a couple of times to the meeting and have questions about services and stuff, and we try to recommend them to the commission, but somehow I don't think we get through to them, and I'm just wondering when this brochure is made that, maybe, I don't know that we want to haphazardly send them out to organizations, but if they felt a need to hand them out to some new people that might want to belong to these various organizations, that we could get our hands on maybe a few of those, if we request them from you and stuff. I mean, when they're ready.
I think you would be able to. I mean, we put our general service brochure in doctors' offices, area agencies on aging, here in Kearney. The housing agency has a stack of them. So, yes, when our senior... any of our brochures you can. And okay. Honestly, the brochure is simply being held up because we need a picture or two on it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in charge of photography at FYI. So we'll have some pictures, and we'll be getting the brochure done.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's funny because, we do a lot of programs. And then I started asking around for pictures, and people were going, well, I don't think we have any, but we do want to put a picture or two on, so that's the holdup.
Yeah, because it catches the family's notice.
Yes, that's right.
Nancy, something really quick about, I have referred people myself to the agency. I mean, they don't, if you have their name and phone number, any contact information, like if someone comes to me and says, can you tell me, how you do this, or where did you get this piece of equipment, and I'll tell them, and then I'll just say, would you like me to have somebody give you a call that could tell you more about that?
Right. We have mentioned that to these people, too, and they, they say, give me the information.
Oh.
And then I have a feeling that they don't follow through for whatever reason, and we try to encourage these people, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. We do say, would you like us? And the one response that I recall clearly was that they wanted the information and not the vice versa. Because, if I know that if I had contacted the commission, they would have been contacted. There's no question about
it.
So,
you've
got to respect their privacy.
The other thing is, sometimes people are just really hesitant to have a state person walk into their house and call them on the phone. If that feels to be the case, you could ask them, would you like to come over to the house sometime, have coffee? I could invite them to meet at my house. You could be there. They could be there. They wouldn't be in your home. It'd just be a little bit
neutral.
Not so formal, not such a formal appointment with a state person. Mm-hmm. You know, we're very willing to do anything. You know, we have a lot of people we meet with that family members say, you need to call and set it up through me, I need to be there, and we want to do that. Mm-hmm. So if that will help give us an opportunity to meet with that person, we can do that kind of thing.
That's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes family members learn as much as the blind person does.
Yeah. Well, it's nice if you have other family around when you have a meeting, because first of all, there's more people asking questions, and second of all, there's more people remembering the answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you walk away, we just give so much information in a meeting that it's nice to have a few extra people there.
Yeah.
So.
Good, all good ideas.
Yeah. Any other questions before? Okay. Well, I invited a couple people today to come and visit. And I'm going to do the not proper thing. I'm going to start with the male and not the female. Sorry. You should always start with the woman. But I am going to start. And the reason is the stories are going to be different. One of these individuals has gone to our center, is an older blind individual, but has gone to our center. And one has not, has received home teaching. And, of course, the majority of the older blind that we will work with in this program are going to be working with a counselor in their home. But they do, if they want to go to the center, they will switch over, as I understand still, into the VR program to do that so it can be paid for. But they do have the right to go to the center. But Terry Haney is here from Lincoln and agreed to come down and spend the night in Kearney, and sounds like not have real good service, but sorry. The food was good that I had here. But anyway, Terry is a client from Lincoln, and I don't think you are anymore a client.
No,
but
I'm not a client any longer.
He did choose to go to the center, and so I've asked him if he will come and visit with you guys a little bit about the services that he received through our agency.
Well, Terry, welcome, Terry.
Thank you. And I guess to start out, I was one of those people who was getting ready. In fact, I was all set to go to the place in Plattsmouth. It's the Masonic Home in Plattsmouth. And I don't know for sure exactly how, but Connie Daly got a hold of me, and we talked, and she said, well, why don't you come to the school for the blind and visually impaired? And I said, I'm pretty well already set. I know where I'm going and what I'm going to do and so forth. And I was pretty well set with that idea. And she wasn't quite ready to let me go. And so she just persisted. And so finally I said, all right, just to pacify her more than anything else, I'll go for a day. And, you know, I went through the day at the school for the blind. And, you know, okay, whatever. But I was still not totally interested in it. And at the end of the day, I sat down with Connie Daly and Fatosh Floyd. And we talked, you know. And then Fatosh said to me, and this is what I think kind of changed my mind. She said, is that what you're going to do for the next 40 years of your life? And I thought on that and pondered that, and I turned to Connie and I says, do you suppose we could work out a 3-day stay next week? And she said, great. So I went for the 3-day. And the following week, I was full-time student at the School for the Blind. And I learned
many, many things that have really put me back into the work field again. And it was a very intense study while I was there. It is intense. I had seriously, I'd been there for about 2 months, 2.5 months, and one day at noon, I just had decided that this is more than what I need and what I want, and I just got up and walked away from the lunch table, and a gal that I have, that I know, saw me get up and wondered, you know, and she followed me out in the hall. And then about that time, Mary Davis was coming down the hall, and she is a past student at the School for the Blind. And she said, well, because I guess I must have had a certain expression or something on my face, like, this is it, I'm done, I'm leaving. And anyway, they talked me into going into Mary Davis's office, and we talked probably for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And at the end of that time, I decided, yes, there's still much more that I need to learn, and many more things that I can do. And so, anyway, we got that part of my life out of the way, and I decided that, yes, I'll go ahead and go and attend. And from there, you know, it, well, just kind of as an example, for the travel, my final, shall we call it, exam, was I had to buy a ticket for the bus going to Omaha. I had to decide what I was going to do in Omaha, which was, I had lived in Omaha at one time, but I'd never been to the Joslin Museum. And I thought that would be something that would be a good thing for me to do. And so I did this, and I also then was to find the Omaha office for the blind and visually impaired, which I did, and eat and so forth, and then catch the bus back to Lincoln that evening. And that was, you know, my final exam in travel. And at the time, I thought, my gosh, this was intense. And it was. The whole program is very intense. But also, by the same token, you learn so many things. Everything from shop to home management, and then the Braille, and the computers, and I had never been around a computer in my life. And so I had to start from the beginning, which was learn the key placement on a computer. And, you know, I finally did learn, though, to do emails and a few things like that. And so, you know, overall, I just feel that there is no better place to be than to be either in the school, and I really do back the school for the blind, because you're there 8 to 5, 5 days a week, you have sleep shades on 8 hours a day, you take them off only at noon while you eat lunch, and you know, it's a
It's very intense, but your the knowledge that you gain from it in the long run is so well worth it, and it is so well spent. And you know, even I had mentioned there was a lady there, and this lady is Peggy Zierenberg, and we now live together. So you see, the School for the Blind can just do all kinds of things for you.
I've heard stories about that.
So, you know, there's just all kinds of things to go to the School for the Blind for, and I am just so much in favor of it. Any questions?
Terry, I heard you, firstly, I don't know if I heard, well, what town you live in now?
I live in Lincoln, Nebraska.
You live in Lincoln, and that's where you originally were at, was in Lincoln? When you were deciding to go to Plattsmith?
Yes.
I'm assuming that was kind of like a retirement or...
That is, yes, it's the Masonic home for retired Masons and Eastern Star people.
Okay.
And, you know, I had, my mind was made up and I was set and that was that.
And I heard you say something about that you're now back in the workforce?
Yes, I am. It started out, one of the things that you have to do when you're in the School for the Blind is you have to find either employment or volunteer work or something. And so I have taught GED, which is General Educational Development Program,
right? You did say that. I forgot.
Since 1997, and I was working with Metropolitan Community College. And so I thought, well, okay, there's a GED program here in Lincoln. And so I thought, okay, I'd go out to see the gal in charge of it and see if maybe they needed a volunteer or something, and which she, of course, did. And at the time, Patty Lamphere was the gal that I worked with. And since then, she has been promoted to now she runs the GED program, and I have was asked if I would replace her in the classroom. So I've gone back to working with and her the class that she taught in the mornings, which I was working as a volunteer for, was Math Intensified. And I spent 30 years in the public schools teaching math, and because it was just math only, I liked it, and so I decided, yeah, what the heck, I'll go back. And so I now have kind of a part-time job.
Oh, I think that's fabulous.
So,
that's awesome. That is such a success story. I mean, that's just, and you're in the field that you want to be in, and...
I'm doing what I want to do when I want to do it.
That's what it's all about.
That's the most important thing to me in my life at this point. Because it's just, I'm kind of at the point where I look at things and I think, okay, do I want to do it or don't I? If I do, yeah, I'll do it. And if I don't, I'll flat out tell them, I'm sorry, not interested.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just, I've never been happier in all my life, really.
If I can ask you to mention something else, you're also doing some contract work at the center.
Oh.
So you want to tell about that?
I work for, I fill in for the home management. When she takes vacation.
Yeah, cool.
And
we contract with him.
Really?
Yeah, and
oh,
also
wonderful.
Let's see, I believe it was last year, the computer instructor went back to Palestine, where she's from, and so the home management instructor, who's she moved into the computer, and I filled in for her for six weeks, yes. Wow. And even got paid for that.
That's right.
So, you know.
That's the bottom line, getting paid.
You betcha. It is. And, but, you know, it's something that, once again, that is something I enjoy doing.
You haven't filled in, you haven't put people on any travel routes to Omaha.
No, I haven't done that yet.
Did you have a good time at the Joslyn Museum? I've never had a chance to go there either, but I hear it's wonderful.
Yes.
That's terrific.
It is a nice museum. It is. Next time you're in Omaha, I ought to consider going.
I'm always into new experiences. That's something I like.
If you like
to
art, that's the place to go. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions for Terry?
I just wanted to make a couple comments. First of all, thank you very much. When I first got Terry's name, it was to call him and get a letter of testimony to you. And after I visited with him, I thought, you know, I think he really needs to tell his story to you guys. I think one of the really important things in the program that we're trying to build here, the really important thing in Terry's story is he got into the center really quickly. That doesn't happen very often because usually they are full. And if they're full and we can't get them in really quickly, we need to be working with them really quickly in their home. He was going to go into
the Masonic home.
Had there not been a spot in the center for him right then, considering the other stuff the agency is doing, especially with employment and all of that, we may not have been able to get to him quite so quickly. He may have gone into the Masonic home. We may not have made the impact in his life if there hadn't been room in the center for him. Now, that's not to say that the staff in Lincoln wouldn't have gotten to him right away, but that's kind of the danger in not having enough staff out there, is that if Lincoln had a bunch of employment issues going on right at that time that they had to focus on, it might have been 6 weeks before they could have got to him. A letter would be written, a call would have been made, but to actually start working with him, it might not have happened. And I think that's the important thing about trying to get people out there to work specifically with our older clients, is so we can address those needs right away. When we're talking about people at risk of going into restricted living situations, those things happen really quickly. I worked with a woman a number of years ago in Grand Island. I actually had gone into her home. She signed up for services. I called to meet with her. She'd moved into the nursing home. Yeah. It happens that fast. So I'm really happy that they have room, and I'm happy that the outcome is as it is. So
had it been a month later, you know, they would have had it pretty well filled. I was just lucky that the timings were all so perfectly set. And the one thing that I will never, ever forget as long as I live is that question that Fatosh Floyd asked me as to, is that how you're going to spend the next 40 years of your life? And when she put it into the time span of 40 years, that really made me do some serious thinking.
Yeah.
So that's just that one simple question.
Yeah, person with your intelligence, it would have really been a shame because you would have been bored to tears. I just know you would have.
Now I can say you're so absolutely
right.
Yeah. Had it not been for the School for the Blind, though, I would probably dispute that with you. But I have attended the School for the Blind. It did so many things for me that it just has changed my whole attitude, personality, everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just pleased with it. And I guess I can't say enough good things about the School for the Blind. It is someplace that there are, you know, anyone who is visually impaired or blind should attend the school for the blind. And if they don't, you know, it's really a loss.
Well, you're the kind of good advertisement that we need for the commission.
That's
right. It really is, because, you know, we can sit up here and say that, but people that have been there and been through it, and several of the people up here have too, it, you know, I that's really good advertisement, real, real helpful. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
My other guest here today is Marietta Sims. We in Kearney have known Marietta for years. She's been a friend of our agency and has received services from our agency. She is an individual that received her services in the home, so did not go to this center, but in fact has participated in several programs we've done. So I asked her if she would come today and tell you a little bit about the services she has received.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I first was introduced to the Visually Impaired Office in 1992. So I've been around a long time. I didn't get to go to the school in Lincoln, and if I did, I probably wouldn't be living alone now. But anyway, I did go to the North Platte program and learned home skills. It was really great. And at the time, my vision was pretty good. It was degenerating, but it was pretty good. But I did it anyway. And I'm so thankful to the counselors and the girls at the agency. They gave me the training and the teaching, but they also gave me the recognition that I could do it. Or they helped me realize that I could do it and that it was important to do. I really owe a lot to those, to Jean Wirtz and Jan Brandt and Deanna and Dr. Pearl, for helping me to learn how to live independently, learn the skills that I would need, and I do need now. It's really been great. They've been my best friends, most of them, for quite a while. For three years, I did some peer consulting in support groups around the central part of Nebraska through a grant that Dr. Pearl, I guess, got. And they hired me a driver, and regularly we went to support group meetings around in the central part of Nebraska. That was a great education for me, and we started two or three support groups that turned out to be very successful. I think they've kind of died out now, and I hate that, but I know the one in Kearney isn't really very active. I don't know what else to say except that I really appreciate all the services that I learned and the training that I learned, and so that I could live independently. I'm going to be 88 in December. Of course, I didn't think I was ever going to live this long. I didn't ever think I was going to be blind. But with the help of the support services that they've given me, I can live independently. And I've tried to encourage people to use the services, and I get kind of disappointed because people just, they don't realize how important it is at a certain stage in their lives. I also have been, most of you know, I wanted to thank you for coming to Kearney. You know, we kind of feel like poor country cousins out in this part of the state. and you probably know that, you've heard it before, but we do, we don't feel neglected, we just feel like we're, those people out there, you know. One thing that I've tried really hard to get accomplished that I haven't, and I'm disappointed that I haven't been able to get it done, is I'm sure all of you know that in Nebraska you need an official photo ID, and you also know that you have to pay the same fee that drivers pay for their driver's license, which I think is about $24 now. And I've tried to get that, a bill, I did get a bill introduced, but I couldn't get it out of committee to take care of that problem. That we shouldn't be paying the same amount of money as drivers pay for their photo ID.
Can I ask what the bill number was? Do you remember?
I think it was 118, maybe. Senator Cutterback introduced it.
Okay.
That's part of the Department of Motor Vehicles, which is a very good, powerful, strong agency, as you all know. They've got lots of money, and they're really good. We just couldn't get it out of me. We had a good bill. I'd spent about a year and a half researching all the states in the country, but mainly the states around Nebraska. No one charges what Nebraska charges. In Colorado, if you're over 72, you get a free photo ID. There's no expiration date on it. Kansas is the closest to Nebraska, and I think at that time it cost about $19 to get one in Kansas. South Dakota, Iowa, North Dakota, Wyoming, Colorado were all $5 or $7. Anyway, I'm still really disappointed in that. We could not seem to get it done. There was one senator on that hearing or on that committee that was afraid he wouldn't approve it because he was afraid that the Warren Buffetts of Nebraska would abuse it.
I don't think so.
He wanted to have a means test done to see if we really need it, if there are really all those people out there that are living on Social Security and need a photo ID. And then he found out that a means test would cost about $200,000 or $175,000. So he backed off. But he was our main block in that hearing.
Is he still in the legislature?
No, he's now a federal congressman in Washington.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I'm not going to go into that. Yeah. But anyway, I've been really disappointed that we couldn't get that done. Maybe someday it will be done. It should be.
It could be introduced again. Mm-hmm.
It's been introduced twice, and the one time before I was involved in it even. Mm-hmm. But how it ever got by in the beginning is, you know, I don't know. But anyway, that's one of my pet peeves, I guess. Now, other than that, I really appreciate the services that I've received and the training that I've had. Yeah, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer. I don't know much.
What kind of training did you receive?
I did the North Platte Home Skills for a week.
What kind of skills did you feel you needed to work on so that you could be more independent?
Travel or braille or
no,
cooking.
Cooking and just general skills.
I travel.
Cane travel. I had to learn cane travel before I could go to the North Platte workshop.
Okay. Yeah.
And we lived and walked several blocks to the office where we learned how to thread needles, how to slice lettuce and all those things. And I could see pretty good. Then one thing that bothered me, which is kind of stupid now, is I couldn't butter bread. The butter just get all messed up. You know, if the butter didn't blacken the bread white, it would have been better. Now I look back on that and I think, well, now I use a spray butter. I don't need to learn something like that. But the skills, you know, general living skills. You can do almost everything, as you all probably know, by tactile. Or there's an alternative way to do almost everything except drive a car or read. Mm-hmm. And in there's braille and so
I really admire you. Yes. When you tell me you're 88 years old, I had a privilege of knowing a lady that lived in North Platte. I think her name was Loy Shepherd, and she was 90-something. You guys are an inspiration to me because sometimes I think, oh, boy, I'm 62, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. And, you know, blindness is kind of can be an excuse. But you know what? You guys are a real inspiration to let me know that, you know, keep on plugging and keep on trying, and it's possible.
How do you deal with the psychological impacts? When you said you talked to a lot of people who just didn't seem to, you know, respond to the message. I know my dad, he's not blind, but he has arthritis. Uh-huh. He's in his mid-70s and tends to really feel sorry for himself and says most people don't live past 80. And how do you convince people? For instance, like we have our news line, and one of the ladies that I knew who's blind in her mid-80s, just a lovely lady, but she didn't want to call Newsline because she was afraid that if somebody was trying to call her, it would tie up her phone line. And you know, how do you get people over those fears and, you know, get them to expand? You know, some people say, well, they're set in their ways at this age. You're not going to change them. How do you reach those people? Have you found anything that works in talking to these people? Or
Well, talking to them is important. I probably fake quite a bit, but people that complain to me about something like, you know, not being able to back their car up straight or, you know, these dumb things, mm-hmm. I just encourage them to keep trying. Pretty soon they'll learn how to do it like I did, you know. I don't really know a good answer for that, uh-huh. except I think probably by example.
Uh-huh.
And I talk to a lot of people. I have a lot of acquaintances and friends in this area, in Kearney,
mm-hmm.
Young people and old people. And I talk a lot about what I do and what I can do. And I listen. I listen. And I pray a lot. I don't know what the answer is.
I think that's listening a is yeah. a good thing. Because yeah. mm-hmm. sometimes if you hear something that you really can't explain to mm-hmm. them.
Oh, yeah.
But I think learning personalities, there are some people that I've talked to that you learn very quickly. This person needs encouragement. They need mm-hmm. to. They need a pat on the back. They need to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. That's good. Right. You're doing good. The next person needs a challenge. You've mm-hmm. got to challenge them. Well, I don't really think you can do that either. And then they show you that they can, even though they yeah. maybe didn't think they mm-hmm. thought they could do it either. Yeah. So you have to kind of feel the mm-hmm. personality out a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's where you're listening.
Exactly, mm-hmm. the listening
is very important at first,
mm-hmm.
and then you take what you've heard and you channel that into whatever areas you find that they are best, or they're but they're most easily challenged mm-hmm. in whatever area.
Yeah, I bet you find that doing the GED studies and stuff, I bet you find that you have to find the whatever button it is that you need to push to make that person do what they're capable of doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a challenge, too, to get people interested in learning blind skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real challenge.
Yeah.
Because they just kind of brush it off. Mm-hmm. They don't want to think like that. That's really hard to do. And then you can suggest to anyone, well, my aunt just has her problems seeing. Well, give me your aunt's phone number. I'll call her and visit with her. Well, she's okay. She can still drive the car, but her vision is bad. So there's a lot of that. And the only thing you can do is listen to them and tell them what you've done or what you can do.
Sure.
I think it's really important to not shut the door and let them know it's not shut. Because when people say, you know, I'm just fine, don't need it right now, they're there. And if you let them know, call any time, that, you know, mm-hmm. it's okay, call back. Chances are later on they're going to say, well, they were pretty nice about that, I am going to call back. But if you make them think it's, you really have to do it right now,
right.
and try to force them, and then they back off from you, they might not come mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
You know, they might say, oh, they were just too pushy. So, you know, we need to let them be ready when they're ready,
yeah.
and be encouraging them. But it's great to have other people who have gone through services,
yes.
who have the skills to make some contacts with some of the people that are a little bit more not ready. Because then they can really see the services in action, what really happens. So, and I want to say a couple things. Marietta, most of her family is nowhere around here. They're California and Colorado so she, you know, she's got a circle of friends, and she's got some family, like in Lexington, but not kids. I think it's other family. But the one thing I find about Marietta is you can't ever find her. She's so busy. And
that's terrific.
I know. Yeah, it's just like I'm looking for her, and I'm leaving messages because she's over at the hospital swimming. Or she's at church and she goes out by herself, or she's doing.
Oh, cool.
It's just great that, you know, mm-hmm. she's got skills and she's out there doing stuff, and she's a good friend of mine and she's an inspiration to me. I want to be, well, maybe not that busy at that age, but I want to be busy and active and be out there in the community. The other thing Marietta did for the community that I want to point out is 8 years ago, she worked with the Kearney Hub to start a program called the Talking Hub. They had a telephone program called Info Hub. The Hub is our newspaper. And on Info Hub, you could call and you could get school menus, or you could get weather information, or you could get information about businesses in town. It was a huge, huge telephone service. And with her help, they started having volunteers read portions of the Kearney paper. Every day when they got their paper, they could call in from their home. They could record certain sections of the paper. And then people could call in to this Info Hub number, access the talking hub, and could hear parts of the paper being read. Oh, okay. It was a wonderful service. It recently has been disconnected. I think some of it has to do with volunteers and their computer system changed and a bunch of things. But she got that going, and for 8 years, it was a wonderful service for visually impaired people here in Kearney. So
it was a great service. We miss it.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll be able to do something else.
I want to thank you for coming to Kearney, and I want to thank Dr. Pearl, because she's been an inspiration to me also. One time we took a tour of Nebraska, western Nebraska. She drove. Remember that trip?
I do.
Wait a minute, did you get lost?
No, but we... It was very interesting. She was the only fully sighted person in the van, and she did all the driving, of course, and out near between Scotts Bluff and Kimball, right? Mm-hmm. Kimball. Wow. We ran into a horrible mud tornado storm. Yes, it was really scary. The windshield was covered with mud. She kept driving.
Oh, my God.
But we had a lot of fun on that trip. And I also took another trip with her to Des Moines to a national transportation meeting. So thank you, Dr. Pearl. You've been a good friend for a long time.
Well, we want to thank Terry and Marietta for coming to tell us your stories, because they were very interesting and very helpful to us, because this new position that Deanna has now is really important. When I was reading through the numbers of, you know, how many senior blind people there are in the state of Nebraska, it's a very necessary thing, because we don't want all these useful people ending up in a nursing home or whatever when they are useful people and have all this knowledge and experience that they can pass on. It's very important that they're still out there doing their thing. So thank you very much for coming.
I want to echo that. I mean, I keep getting these AARP advertisements now. Yeah. I'm 52, and I start feeling sorry for myself. You guys give people so inspirational.
You should have 40 your age. Years. Don't forget.
I can go to 100 now, so there you go. That's great.
Do we have any more questions from the board? I hear Hubert's little buzzer going off, but if we have more questions, I would entertain that. Doesn't sound like it, so we will open it now up to for public comment, and you're welcome to ask Deanna or Marietta or Terry any questions or anything of the board at all, so feel free to ask questions from the public. And please tell me your name when you get up to ask the question, so we know who you are.
Nancy?
Yeah. Okay, I know my name. I need to know your name.
This is
Artie. Okay.
I learned about the services over the radio in 1977. And it, to me, it's been such a well-hid thing that nobody knows about. Well, see, I didn't know it, and I don't know how you get it out and open it, only by things like Deanna's doing. And I know I talked to people, and we had an older woman come to my house one day. She was talking and like that. She was so disturbed. But the counselor did get to her house, and she was pleased to death. So, you know, the older people, a lot of them would like to work because they knew how to do it. Mm-hmm.
So are you suggesting advertise on the radio?
Yeah.
Well, actually, let me make a comment about that, talking about Marietta here. A number of years ago, I don't know when, Marietta did an ad on the local radio station here, and it is still being played today. How many years ago was that?
I think it was three.
3 years ago? I had someone this last week say, I heard an ad on the radio about your services. So.
That's how I found out about them. Yeah. And they were new, you know. But may I make another comment?
Sure.
Everything's on the computer. Everything's on the web. Remember, there are a lot of people that don't have computers.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, they don't get that. So you need to get it out somehow besides computer. If you listen, look at me. I'm not going to sit there and read all that stuff. I'm going to look at it. If I saw the paper, I could read it whenever I wanted. But to sit there and read it, no, I'm not going to.
Pearl or Deanna, do you folks, I know ACB does this with some of their PSAs, do you folks publicize the availability of the services on Radio Talking Book?
Well, we used to always have an ongoing about the agency. Not really a program, but I don't know if they announce anything about the agency anymore. Now, Kathy always do you still send the public notices about the meetings to Radio Talking Book? And
get to that list that I have.
Yeah.
But you don't actually know. I never listen to RTB because I don't have time. So I don't use Newsline for that reason either. But and of course you have no control whether it gets, you know,
right,
put on the air or what have you. But RTB might be a good source if they're not on the list to already add them to the list.
Well, what I'll do is I'll give them a call and just find out what they're doing.
Oh yeah, call up John.
And the other thing I think I'll do, and I always kind of start small because it kind of builds up. But I will start, at least in this area, Hastings, Grand Island, North Platte, and call some of their radio stations and see about... It's a public service thing that Marietta is doing.
Right.
And see if we can get that on, or something similar, on their radio stations. Maybe find someone local that, you know, is a name and a voice that people might recognize to do the public service announcements on those radio stations. Right. So I will check into that. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Thanks.
And if you do the checking into it, Deanna, then the local councilor could follow up with finding the Terry or the Marietta in the area and doing the steps. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
When we did that PSA in, I think it was May, 3 years ago, Gene Wartz and I, or Gene did it, and the man told us then that they are required to have so many minutes of PSAs.
Right.
And after they use it on their station for a while, they'll send it to other stations. So I don't know if that's ever happened because no one's ever called me and said they heard it on any other station besides the one that I recorded it on. But they do spread it. You know, after so many months or years, they'll send it to another station and then it'll be running in two stations.
Wow. It also might be a good idea to get a copy of that. Well, it'd be kind of hard to do without that I think about it. I was going to suggest get a copy of a PSA and put it up on the website, too, but if you have one for each area, that'd be kind of difficult to do, so.
Mrs. Hubert.
Go. Yes.
The folks who are older, from what you know or have heard, how many folks, as they get older and start having vision problems, go to their pastor and indicate their qualms or their problems that they're having? Is perhaps through the ministerial associations, might that be another place to make some contacts?
I'm sure that is, I can't give you numbers, but I'm sure that is a source that people go to for reassurance and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a very good idea.
Yeah,
if they have conferences or something, maybe see if they allow you to come set up a table or presentation.
Yes, thank you, good idea.
Well, I myself belong to a very small church, but I myself as a blind person, and I know there is another blind person. The gentleman happens to be well into his 90s now and is deservedly so in a nursing home. I mean, he is no longer ambulatory or this kind of thing. We also, incidentally, being a small, very small church, we have one lady who is a deaf lady too that has a cochlear implant that is very good at, you know, advertising, not, I shouldn't say advertising, but letting us know of her disability and how to help her. She's been an inspiration to me too, because I've learned that I need to spread the word a little further too, and it's been very, very useful. Sometimes you forget, you take for granted because people in your family know about your blindness and what's an appropriate thing to ask or do or say to you, and any of those are appropriate, but sometimes people get offended if you say, no, thank you, I really don't need any help. They get offended, and so, you know, it's a way to, like I said, she's been an inspiration to me to further that a little bit and make the conversation go a little longer so they are not offended by it. But yeah, that is a very good church. I think churches are a very good source.
Yeah, and I've added that to the list, so thanks.
Okay.
You know, any time, I know that today this is the focus topic, but any of you that are here today, if at any time you come up with, like, a really good idea, here's something that might help, please call. Because I'm really looking for any ideas. Can't act on everything, but I keep all of the ideas, you know, to see if we can work with them at some point. And I, you know, everybody here has ideas in your head that will help us do this, or make this program better. So please feel free to call any time.
Excuse me, Deanna. You're also welcome to email an idea to me, and I'll send it on to Deanna, especially the board, because we communicate a lot. Anybody, but you folks probably know how to get Deanna more easily, but feel free to contact me as well.
Well, Deanna, I think you're doing an excellent job, and we appreciated the information that Bob sent us too, and I'm very impressed. It seems like to me you're covering a lot of areas for one person, and I'm very impressed, and thank you so much for coming today and bringing these people with you.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments from the public or questions? They don't have to pretend to the focus topics, although they can.
Just encourage everybody to get out and vote, because as the population gets older, the senators, both federally and statewide, are going to have to listen. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to do it the old-fashioned way, have a reader, or, you know, there are the voting machines now.
Yes.
So. You know,
they are very, very easy to use.
Yeah, they are,
absolutely. Yeah, they're great.
So very easy to use.
Pushing that. And
yeah, I mean, anybody, you don't have to be computer literate to be able to handle them there. And if you are having problems, that's part of their job, is to explain it to you if you do have problems with it. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to vote independently without a reader and be totally private.
Yeah, but I haven't figured out how to turn the screen off. I always have somebody standing over my shoulder watching me push the button.
Yeah, that's not.
Well, I don't personally care, but it's just the idea.
This is Myrna.
Okay, Myrna.
I'm a sighted person, obviously. And the thing on my side of the fence, it would be helpful to me, and I know a lot of other sighted people, to know what blind people expect from us. We don't want to offend anybody. Most of us don't. I don't think anybody does. But sometimes we don't know how to handle it, because we're not, I'm around blind people, but I have a lot of people come to me and say this or that. They don't know how blind people, I know you want to be treated as equal, and I understand all that, but a lot of people do not. And I think, even, you know, a lot of you people on the council that are very, very talented people, young people.
She's bettering us up now.
No, she sounded like it is.
I think it would be helpful for you to go to different organizations. You know, if somebody needs a speaker, you can tell them how they can help you. I don't think that's making good sense, but
I see what you're saying.
Well, I will make this comment. You know, it's been, you know, when people in church or in the public or whatever and come and ask me, can I help you do whatever it is, because maybe I made a wrong turn, realize it, and turn to the other direction. Mm-hmm. When they come to ask me, I'm not offended by them asking me at all. I think that's mm-hmm. a very kind, neighborly thing to do, mm-hmm. and very nice. The problem comes when I, you know, because I've already figured out, oh, this is where I need to go instead of that. I say, well, thank you for being so kind, but I know where I'm going. They get offended. They're the person that gets offended. I really don't want to offend anybody. That's not in my nature to do. But if you don't accept their help, they're the person that gets offended. Now, that's been my experience with things. And I, you know, sometimes I accept help when I really don't really feel like I need it, because so many times I've offended somebody and I just didn't want to deal with it that day. So I allow somebody to help me when I really don't think I need help. I think asking is important. You know, go up and ask a person. They very well might need help. And there are times when all of us, I would dare to say, you know, have been in a situation where we wish somebody would, you know, we're not aware that somebody's around and we wish they would come and say, you know, where is it that you would like to go, and get instructions or whatever. But, you know, we don't want to offend them either.
I think you're right, and this is Daryl Wallett. Myrna, I think your point is well taken, you know, just to continue to go to churches, other organizations. You know, just to give you an example, one of the guys I ride with, he's an assistant principal. He saw me teach and giving me glowing reports, and he used to give me a ride. One day he was giving me a ride to school, and I was talking about buying an electric razor. And I said I didn't know if I liked it as much as using the old-fashioned ones. And he goes, well, doesn't your wife shave you? And I, you know, and I, this is a very educated person, and you know, I just sat there and about fell out of the truck, and I just, you know, explained, no, I just, you know, you just learn, it's all by feel anyway. And, but you know, here you assume that everybody knows these things, especially with, you know, all the, you know, movies about blind people and stories in the paper and you know, educational classes and different things, but there's always going to be those questions, and I think it's, you know, a two-way street. You know, if a sighted person has questions, maybe they need to just say, well, you know, how can I help you? Do you need help? Do you want me to be quiet? Or, you know what? But we as blind people, too, I think still need to get sure that message do. Out, because there's always going to be these, you know, misconceptions. And, you know, so your point is well taken, and I think that's really
well,
good.
And education is, I think, well, that's right, educating them, you know, and not, you know, making fun of them because they've asked a question, right. Because it's an important question. We'll mm-hmm. have one more person that understands that we do things by ourselves. Yeah. You know, it's a great time to do that.
You know, somebody like me, if I close my eyes, see, I can't, because I haven't went to the school, right. And mm-hmm. I haven't taken all that training, I don't understand all the techniques you guys use. And that's exactly how John Q. Public views it. Mm-hmm. They don't know that you've been educated and know all the ins
that's
and
a
outs.
Good point.
But not all blind people are either.
Exactly. Not all blind people have,
well,
you
that's
know,
probably true.
There's all levels of skills.
But, right. Mm-hmm. I don't think most people, when somebody says, no, I don't need any help, I don't care if you're blind or deaf or full caliber. I don't think most people take an offense. When I ask somebody, I've seen old people, and I'm 73.
It's all in.
I've seen old people, and I thought they needed help, and went, oh, no, they could handle it themselves. Well, fine. You know, you just go.
But, you know, it's the asides that the blind people, of course, being blind, a lot of time you get this, you know, they're not hearing what I said, because I'll hear things like, you know, I'll be asked and I'll say, oh, that's very nice, no thanks, I don't need help, and then I'll hear, I guess I shouldn't have asked, mm-hmm. you know, the asides that you're not supposed to hear, but you do, so you know that you've offended them.
This is Deanna, and I wanted to make a comment. We actually do have a fairly nice educational tool through the commission. We don't use it as much as we used to, but it was in book format. I think we still have some books around. It's on a videotape. I don't think we have it on a...
Yeah, book. The Encounter.
Yes, yeah. The Encounter. It's called The Encounter. It's been around, well, longer, I think, than I've been here. And it is the encounter. And the story is, what do you do when you meet a blind person?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great educational tool for, well, we've used it in sensitivity training and companies and stuff. If they say, we want some sensitivity training on blindness, it's great, because it really says, as a visual person, if you come across a blind person, what do you do?
It's,
and so we'd be happy to share that with any groups.
That's a great idea. That's a great thing, because I do think that would be a great tool for some organizations, especially if they're around blind people all the
time. Companies that hire blind people, it would be so good to send that to that company and have them use it at a store meeting or a. That way they would all know how to react.
It's all in the delivery.
Madam Chairman,
how you say it?
Yes.
We seem to be
digressing.
About 15 minutes.
Right, we do need to move on, but I will make one more comment that when I worked at the hospital, I had a supervisor that I let this slide for a while, that he would come in with, we're constantly changing report forms and whatever, and the first words out of his mouth usually would be, well, you won't be able to do this report form. It was always a negative comment about it, and I had no idea what the report form was even was. And finally, one day, I'd had enough, and I probably said it in too angry of a tone because I'd already had a rough day, but I just informed me, I don't know if I can handle it or not because I don't know what it is. Would you explain it to me first? And after that, he took more of a positive response. And I don't mean that you need to get angry. I just mean that when somebody comes in with a negative, you need to try to educate that person as best as you can, especially somebody that you're going to have to work with. And yes, we do need to go on. And the next thing on the schedule is the break. So we'll take, do we need a 10-minute break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute break and reconvene. And about Tim Wes is there. You are on the other side.
Wes is here.
That's right.
There's a glass here.
We're gonna have to wait a second for. Kathy. Kathy back?
Yep. Give her a minute though. She's not at the computer.
Okay. And Hubert, you're ready though,
ready to go.
Right? And I think all the board members. As soon as Kathy is ready, then we will start.
Kathy's ready.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, let's have order here. We are going to go to the report from the chairman, which is myself.
All right.
And firstly, as usual, I'd like to thank everybody that sends us reports. We really appreciate them. Pearl sends us a lot, but we get from a lot of different people and a lot of different things. And I find them, you know, some of them are tedious to go through, but most of them are interesting and whatever. Budget stuff is very hard for me to go through, but it's very extremely necessary. We would be no place without a budget. But then I would like to publicly, I've already done this by email, but I'd like to publicly congratulate Bill Brown for being Manager of the Year and Kelly Coleman, I think it's Coleman, for being Employee of the Year. I think that's wonderful, and we, you know, need to recognize that. And Governor Heineman will be doing that this fall. And then one of the activities that struck my fancy was the fire safety event that happened in Omaha that the students got to go to, and I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful event, and I was very pleased. They took some comments from Nancy Floral that were very accurate and not messed up, and they were very good, and I appreciated that.
I thought that was Lincoln.
It was Lincoln.
It was in Lincoln?
That's what I thought.
I think so.
Okay, yeah. I don't know where I got the idea. It was in.
Well, probably because Nancy Floral is the person they quoted.
Oh, okay. That's probably it. Anyway,
they did also have a piece about that on the news. I saw it on the TV. It was
yes.
Oh, really? Really good, yeah.
And the mayor was there for a
press conference, so it got very good coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did, and I was that's any time the commission can get that kind of publicity, it's a very good thing. That kind of positive thing is very good. Then Monday night we had the conference call of our networking group, and we have decided to go to an agenda now, which is, to me, very helpful. We have certain things that we're going to talk about. It's to me, it's making improvements, and we are getting good information. One of the things that we talked about that I will talk a little bit about later is the meetings for me in St. Louis, the RSA meetings that we had. We talked about that a little bit, and I'll talk about that later. We talked about how the budgets and the concerns that we have in different parts of the country were going and how that was. And we also talked about the meetings that will be coming up for the, and I always get this, NCSAB and...
CSABR.
CSABR meetings. They'll be coming up in November in San Diego, and I think that, Daryl had the chance to go to the one in Bethesda and gave us a good report. And I think this new coalition that's trying to form itself, I think there may be some good things about it, but there are also some things that they need to clarify and change. And so I'm assuming that they'll be meeting in San Diego too, I
right.
imagine. Okay, yes. So they'll be out there again too. And I think it's, if nothing else, important that we keep our eye on that situation so that, it doesn't get to the point where it's going to be the elimination of separate agencies for the blind. Okay, and I will talk about the meeting in St. Louis. I did go to the meeting. Unfortunately, after the first meeting on Wednesday afternoon, I became ill, and I did not attend any further the meetings. As a matter of fact, because of particular illness, I had an equilibrium problem. I was totally unbalanced at the time, so my family made the decision that it might not be a good idea for me to fly. For them, maybe cause more problems. So I didn't, they came down after me and I did not attend any more of the meetings. I got over and it turned out that it was the start of a sinus infection. I had never knew that before, but anyway, it was the start of a sinus infection and it got pretty full blown before I was done. But anyway, I did go to the first part of the meeting, and to me this was very educational because we went around the room, and each of the different states had a chance, if you were a separate agency like we were, or if you were SRC, that you got to talk about. They gave us kind of a criteria, probably if we had what problems we were having, what successes we were having, and what we expected to get out of the meetings. And that was very, very good because it gave me a chance to know that some of the commissions or councils were having far more problems than we are. I'm concerned that we don't get more people from the public attending our meetings. In some cases, they were having trouble with board members attending their meeting. And one in particular, they had been appointed for a year and a half and had never been to a board meeting. So this is really, I think, we don't have those kind of problems. We have people that are very involved in our meetings. And, of course, the budget constraints. Then they were talking about, and one of the things somebody said that was up before me said that they wanted... they thought that some of the people on the board, they just plain, needed more information on what their duties were and what they were doing. And I thought, aha, we put a packet together. I'll mention that. And so I did mention that, and a couple of people really commented, wow, that's a good idea, you know, that's, you know, put a packet together, you know. So I, you know, I felt really good about being able to say that, and I said that, you know, we didn't have any trouble with commissioners attending, and at present our governor was appointing people very timely. In some cases, I guess it had been almost upward of 2 years that the governor had not appointed people. So I think, gee, we're pretty lucky here in Nebraska. Then he did announce that there was going to be that they were going to go into the next day. We're going to go into the workshops, which I did not attend. The fortunate part of that is all of the modules are up on websites. There are links to it that I think you guys have been sent. If I remember correctly, I thought he said 6 hours worth of stuff up there to go through. You will get credit for doing that. They have a registration. I have not started it yet, but I feel the necessity to go through every last one since I missed all those meetings. I intend to go through those and learn from them. And I think everybody could get useful information from doing those. So I really can't give you too much more information from that because, like I said, if it had just been a cold or something, there wouldn't have been a problem, but I just plain could not negotiate a room and was very thankful that a couple people from Minnesota were there to help me and got a wheelchair to get me back up to the room, so which I literally hung onto the wall when I got back to the room to get a place. So at any rate, no more of that. So I don't have a lot more information than that, but if nothing else, I would like for all of the commissioners to go to the website and at least try looking at those modules and getting some useful information about it. And seeing that is all that I have for my report today. So any questions of me, probably about St. Louis, which I can't answer too many of.
I just have a comment. I hope that all of our commissioners, at some point all of us, you know, within our terms can attend one of these. You know, I've had my turn in Bethesda, and boy, they're really well worth it if we have the funds and people can go, and you know, we've kind of got a rough idea of when, you know, different things are, because the next one's in San Diego. And, if people can go, it's really well worth it to get information and visit with people. It's great.
And I think Pearl once mentioned to me that in the winter they're always in Bethesda, right?
Yeah, usually March or April, they're always in Bethesda, which is near Washington, D.C.
Okay. any other comments or... Okay, then we will go to the report from the executive director.
Thank you very much. This time I have my report on a laptop, and of course it has timed out, and so on. And I was so interested in what you were saying, I have to get it open again here.
Technology is great when it works.
Yeah, that's why I usually print it and have it. Okay. I do want to start with, since you mentioned the packet and the praise we received from other states for that, Kathy is going to be updating that packet. We have done a lot of updates and upgrades to the website with new information on placement, on senior blind, on just a lot of what we do is continually updated. And you'll recall your packets as board members were comprised of, the website is the one place that has a very comprehensive information about the commission, the laws we operate under, our regulations, just everything. So that will be updated periodically when new commissioners are appointed, with encouraging existing commissioners to go to the website and keep yourself updated, of course. But so that's, there have been significant changes this year, so that's in the works. I believe the last meeting that we had, you all discussed the draft state plan, which we submit to RSA. That was reviewed. You all approved the plan, and I thank you for that. I just heard about a week and a half ago from RSA with some really pretty minor changes, but a few things that they need for us to revise. And I did explain to the gentleman that I'll be working with that we were in the midst of budget development and getting ready for this meeting, and so I'm going to meet with him next week. I had a phone conversation with him, but I'm going to be really working on this next week. There really are just two sections. One relates to how we coordinate our training for personnel with training development of people in the education system, that's with the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. And so there's just some language that I need to add that shows how we work together with educators. And then in the attachment on evaluation and reports of progress, we put progress for the year that we were in, 2008, but apparently we needed to report progress on the FY 2007 goals. So I just need to update that. And then we needed a report on how the funds for innovation and expansion activities were utilized. We did address that, but again, I think we must have put the wrong year. So next week, I'm going to pull the thing out and really look at what the language we had was and see where I need to revise. I will send you the revisions. I don't think that it's really anything that needs, it's really not significant changes in content. So anyway, that is in the works. The field services, I want to talk a little bit about. We hear frequently, and we had great testimony today about the values of the training center, the Nebraska Center for the Blind, and a lot of our programs like the Home Teaching Plus, the FYI, other group training programs. But of course, in addition to all of that, every single day, our counselors and home teachers are in the field, in people's homes, in their businesses, their places of employment, to work with them on an ongoing basis. So, the programs and the center are crucial, but I don't want us to forget how important those field services are. This past to date for the fiscal year, since October 1, we've served 530 people in the vocational rehabilitation track and 584 in the independent living track, which includes older blind. We've had 37 people successfully achieve their vocational goals since October 1, and 141 successfully achieved their independent living goals. We've also had 38 unsuccessful voc rehab closures and 25 unsuccessful independent living. We are looking at the unsuccessfuls closely. Our numbers are small enough in each office that we can really assess what's going on. A lot of times it is an individual who they really have decided they don't want to work for a while, or they don't believe that they need the training. Have decided to maybe, just live on SSI and not get a job. Now, they may change their mind later, hopefully when somebody sometimes it's when their vision when they lose more vision. Other times it's when they make the right connection, like Terry talked about. But, you know, sometimes people just aren't ready. And so some of those unsuccessful closures, really it's more the individual situation. But still, I'm encouraging supervisors to work with staff and make sure we're really on target with what we're doing with people. Staff updates, we no longer have Jeff Kreutz, who was our had been hired as a program specialist for technology. That would have been in Omaha. He was still in training, so he's no longer with us. Sarah Stewart did start in June and is doing really well in her training. She'll be the vocational rehabilitation counselor in Kearney. Chad Weber was hired in July for a voc rehab counselor in Omaha. He also is in training and doing really well. And Candy Larson is now a vocational rehabilitation counselor in Lincoln. And Jamie Forbes, who is in our North Platte office as a home teacher and has been part-time, is now 40 hours a week, at least until the district is fully staffed. So that's helping with the shifting around of people. And it's helping with the managing of the caseloads, I should say. The center, of course, continues to go great. We've had 157 full-time clients that have completed the center since 1996. Of those, 91.5% have completed their employment goals. And so, of course, that's truly tremendous. We're very proud of those results. We've had a lot of great activities in the past month at the center. We've had tango dances, tango dance classes, which has been a really neat thing. We're going to be doing tango dance classes in Omaha, too, because there are some folks there that it's Omaha people that have come to Lincoln to teach our center clients, and then we'll be teaching the Omaha staff. So it's really a neat thing, something very different. potluck lunch, we've done a lot of physical changes to our space in Lincoln, one of which is we doubled our dining room in the center and added a buffet, you know, kind of a formal buffet line setup so that we can, you know, really do buffets frequently. That's a big confidence builder. It's really important to, and it gets at a lot of skills, so that's physically a part of our setup now, which is great. We've had etiquette class, some group volunteer activities, attending a national convention, the fire safety, some grilling activities. We even had some clients sent baked goods to the county fair, and just this past week, won ribbons, so we're very proud of that. And then the center staff,
housekeeping, please,
staff and students participated in an employment networking workshop, which I'll tell you a little
bit about. Room 128 is an early checkout.
We also had clients that were part of the wages program for youth employment to, as all or part of their work experience, to be center clients. So there were a few cases where they really needed that kind of training, and so we were able to work that.
No, ma'am, not that I'm aware of.
And just lots of things that we're doing. Business Enterprise continues to be really doing well. The Zerinsky building.
What room? 159 and 150?
Is something that's been a work in progress for quite a while. We now have vending machines on five floors. We have a number of situations in the IRS and the FBI buildings in Omaha, which Amy Swigert is the manager for now. Merlin Volker is sole facility manager at the Zirinsky Building. Of course, we still have the opportunities out on the interstate. We are looking at a possibility, well, not a possibility. We've been working on arrangements with Terry Harris, who's our business enterprise supervisor. He would like to begin working 3 days a week in Lincoln and 2 days a week based on the Kearney office, but really spending a lot of time with the vendors on the interstate to the west of Kearney. It's really cumbersome to get clear out there, and some of the vendors and the operations out there need some of Terry's expertise. So that's likely going to happen. The Kearney staff have been very open to figuring out how they can make the space work, and I think it's going to be a nice change of pace. He won't be, sitting at a desk 2 days a week, but he'll base out of there, so I think it'll work really well. You've heard a lot about all the work that's being done with the independent living, the senior blind. We are doing a minority outreach report. The federal people have basically got that started, but it's been a good tool for us to be systematic in each office to make sure we are getting to the populations, the areas, the groups of people that sometimes are underserved, either because the community is maybe overprotective or kind of take care of their own or whatever. And so this outreach report or the outreach activities helps us to make sure we're getting out there. Bob Deaton, Carlos Servan, Deanna and I have met with senators on the Appropriations Committee. We are continuing that effort, and that's been a very helpful way for us to communicate with them, and it's also been helpful for us to get guidance from them about our senior blind project and are we going in the right direction and what do we need to focus on between now and next legislative session when we'll be needing to give them information. And the budget business office, of course, the draft budget has to be submitted by September 15th is the deadline to have all of our information in there. And the closing out of the state fiscal year, June 30th, is always a big busy time in the business office. They've been working very hard on the eForce. That's the data tracking system, which we obtained as a gift, basically, from Iowa Department for the Blind, and we've been working to reshape it, remold it, so that it fits what our processes are, has our language, has our system. And so that's a process.
Carl, if you have further things you'd like to say, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. There's so much. There's just always so sure. Very much going on. We've been working on changing the how payments are processed. Dave has gone to each office statewide to train support staff in how to prepare vouchers. Instead of all of the invoices happening in Lincoln, they can be paid, they can be processed at each office. It'll be more systematic, it'll be closer to where the actual service is provided. And of course, with when an eForce gets in place, that will just help to reinforce that decentralization of all of the work. And the staff in the field have done a great job. Becky's here to get her praise, but all of them, Josie, Sherry, Becky, Connie in Norfolk, Cheryl and Betty, and then when Nicole gets back from maternity leave, she will have training, but all the rest of them just have done really well with learning how to do that, and Dave's done a good job training it. So that's a good thing. Let's see. And Dave is physically in Norfolk 100% of the time now, except when we have administrative team meetings, if there are meetings for HR or for state where he needs to be, or when we have new staff trainees, the first day is usually a day with Dave Robinson so that the new member of our staff gets all the things that they need to be official with the state. So he has times that he must be in Lincoln, and his phone number is still the same Lincoln number, but it transfers to his Norfolk office. So we continue to monitor it to make sure that you know, there's no gap in how smoothly that works. So far, it's working well. Kathy's been working very hard. In addition to all her everything she's doing, she had some good training. She got to go to the Hadley School for the Blind Ambassador training and represented us well. The director of Hadley has talked to me and said she's great. He really enjoyed meeting her. She's done full scope training for procurement with NIS, or payroll, human resource training. All the work with keeping the website updated has to file through Kathy, and then she gets it to the website people. So it's helpful. Once in a while we get a tip from somebody, this is out of date or that. Just driving up here, somebody mentioned upcoming events. We didn't have this meeting on upcoming events. She posted it to the website, but that would be another place that we should always put it. And that was a great idea, which, I mean, there's always things you don't think of. So always send us these ideas, and then we get them in place. I've talked about the field. We've had training for staff on Social Security work incentives. Larry Roos did a great job coordinating that workshop. Wages was just completed. I could go into a lot of detail, but I know we're out of time, so I won't, but I'd be glad to answer any questions. It was excellent. The students were really well affected, had excellent experience, and gained a lot of confidence, and it was very valuable. And we had really good comments, too, from parents and employers, so it was very good. Employment conference, we just completed, was last week. 37 employers attended, 35 job seekers. We had an excellent trainer who's from Colorado, with a business called Dynamic Buna, and it was great. The experience, again, I could go on and on about with quotes of people and so on, but both of those experiences were very well, very effective. And mentoring continues. We have one more activity in September, and then the mentoring project will end at the end of September. The districts are working well together. We've had some staff shifting around. We've had some new staff and losing staff, and, you know, so people are in training. But the districts really are working well together to not worry about where their boundaries are and see where the clients are and who needs to go where to provide services. So that's, and in terms of technology, you know, that position's been empty for a while. Omaha district staff are working very well with the clients, and Nancy Kaufman and Jan Brand are assisting a great deal. So that's going well. Let's see. Right on, today there's a training for deaf-blind service providers. They're called Support Service Providers, SSP, for deaf-blind individuals. Cheryl Poff is leading that. And Megan Kurtz with Nebraska Commission for the Deaf and the Hard of Hearing is co-leading that with our Cheryl Poff. Nancy Fleurl is working on that today, and that's why she's not here. Anyway, let's see. I'll try to... there's just so much. The placement committee is doing a great job with a number of activities, and of course I keep busy with all kinds of things, but those that statewide, those are the main highlights that I would want to tell you, and thank you for your time.
And I think, and maybe the commissioners have questions, but I think it's a good idea, even the stuff that you haven't mentioned. I think last time we put that all in your report in the minutes. I don't know if that's the consensus of the board, but I really think that's a good idea, because anybody that's going to go up there to read needs to know what the commission is doing. And so I think that's an excellent idea.
I have a question that has concerned me for a long time. Will we, as commissioners, get some sort of synopsis as to how the mentoring program went, how successful it was, the things that were not successful? Because, you know, in looking at it as being a mentee or a mentor, I know it was good, but there were things that I think were, you know, really need to be reflected and be honestly mentioned.
Well, two things. One, if there's something you're aware of that you believe is an issue, I would hope that you'll communicate with me. Let's have a phone conversation or email me and bring those things to my attention.
Okay.
I'm sure it was a grant. I'm sure there are reports that will be compiled at the completion of the project, and I can certainly share those with you. So I'll do that.
Yes, I know there were like exit every. I would really want to know what.
Was the survey. I think didn't Mississippi State didn't they do that survey also?
Not for the mentoring project.
Who did that survey?
Well,
I think the people that were involved in Baltimore. I think.
I don't. Right. I think they had a no. I think it was a third party.
I thought Mississippi
party.
State called me too.
Yeah, I was almost sure it was Mississippi State that did that.
Oh, that's right. They did. I remember getting a call like that too.
Is it from Baltimore?
Well, Baltimore contracted them to do it.
Right, but it's a third party that did. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mean to belabor a point, but these are the things that we're very foggy on, and you know, we're participating in something, and we don't really know what's going on, and that has. Mm-hmm. Bothered me since the inception of this program, and I think that I mean I believe in it. I have some questions.
I would love to see those survey results also. Yeah. I mean,
well, we can certainly share with you anything that we compile and that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
What I will have to check on is, I know that our project in Nebraska is part of a national, it's in just three states, but I mean it's a bigger event, and it sounds to me like the survey you're mentioning here is something that they've done from Baltimore, which is coordinating those three states. I don't know for sure what they're doing with that, whether they can send that to us, but I'll check on it.
You know, and the other thing I'll make a comment is Nebraska was the first state to get started with, and you know, you can expect problems, and I'm with Daryl, there were problems, and I think in some cases it was the mentor, but saying in a lot of cases I really felt like it was the mentee was not willing to get involved.
Oh, it was a threefold problem, but I think we need, if we're going
to,
you know,
we need to
buy into it as a commission. We need to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, I mean, we just got to see it all.
Right, I agree.
And, you know, all of our work, whether it's the individual casework, whether it's programs, workshops we have afterward, those of us involved with each piece, we do debrief. We do look at the things that were successes and the things that didn't work well, and we learn from that and we change as we develop in the future. You know, to to give you that kind of feedback on everything probably wouldn't, I think it would be pretty hard to manage, but but know that we do that on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
But yeah, for a project like this, a grant-funded thing, final reports and so on, we can certainly be doing that.
The other question I had real quickly, and maybe, I don't know if you can legally do that or not, but with technology, when we have these positions open, let's say some basic skills that some clients need, is it possible like to contract or like have people sign up as temps and like maybe hire a college student to teach somebody some computer skills?
We do contract with people. A lot of times it's with consumers because a lot of the, you know, businesses, computer businesses don't know assistive technology.
Right.
So we do contract with individuals who have skills.
Oh, good. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's being done.
Yeah.
Earl, can I ask very quickly? I mean, having attended the workshop just concluded in Lincoln, do you know if there is going to be, if Connie Daly is going to send out a follow-up survey to the participants and say what you like, what didn't you like, what can we do better to improve?
I don't know if a survey is planned. I do know that she and the other people involved with that workshop talked with a lot of individuals, both the clients and employers afterward, and did get comments, suggestions, both positive and constructive criticism. So those are all being considered for future.
All right, then it would behoove me then to get a hold of her by email and say these are my thoughts and go.
Sure,
ahead.
You bet.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions of Pearl?
One quick thing, and
okay.
Deanna kind of, I've been rolling around in my head. Deanna mentioned that they're applying for funding for more funding for the older blind, and how the immediate services are so important, and kind of alluded to adding staff, perhaps, or some other programs. What might that be?
We'll be talking about that in the budget section.
Okay.
So.
Okay, anything else? I have one other thing that should have been part of my report that I failed to mention, so I'll briefly mention it, because I indicated that I would call or get in contact anyway with the Friends of the Commission, and I did get in contact with Dr. Nyman, and he indicated that they really haven't done anything just lately, but that they hopefully are going to revitalize this fall again. So that's, I just thought that, you know, that was part of my job, and I failed to mention that. Okay, next we have public comment again. Public is welcome to ask any questions that they would like or make comments. Any comments from the public? Well, hearing none, speak now or.
Well, this is Deanna.
Okay, Deanna.
This is just kind of an offshoot. Pearl had mentioned that the clients in Lincoln had been taught to tango. And we have a fairly large tango community building in Nebraska. In September, there will be a malongo, which is a public tango dance here in Kearney. And I've made a note, I'm going to send them all an invitation.
Great.
Because I think it'd be great to have them come dance. But I think it'd be great for the community to have that interaction with our clients and our staff. So I'm going to send an invitation. It's a lovely dance.
Can you demonstrate it for us? I don't know.
I would need a partner. It's a lovely dance, and it's beautifully done.
It sounds like
only
fun
only somebody
to me. That really does sound like fun. Okay, any more comments or questions from the public?
Do you know when the dance is, out of curiosity?
Yes, September 6th.
Oh, okay.
At the Museum of Nebraska Art here.
I got a football game that day, so.
That's priorities
in the state.
That is awesome.
Okay, then we will go to old business, and I'm not sure that this should have been under old business. It's the biennium budget request proposal, but that's where it is. So this is where we will discuss it. So, Pearl.
All right. the budget spreadsheets that you folks have, the board has
had a chance to look at. I hope it's quite a complicated process. Every 2 years, the budget of state agencies is set up on a biennial basis, and so it goes with the state fiscal year. Many of our financial reports and things are based on the federal fiscal year, but when we do the biennium request, we have to look at the state fiscal year. So the biennium we are proposing for begins July 1, 2009. That's the beginning of the FY 2010 year, and then goes on into the FY 11 state fiscal year 2011. There are some increases in state budgets which the Department of Administrative Services just automatically computes and basically informs us what they will be, and that's the funding for that, for the state part of that is included. For example, cost of state vehicles and building rents and things like that. DAS, Department of Administrative Services, just kind of plugs that in ahead of time, and they send us the figures. So that's part of it. And then we look at our line items. We look at what are we spending in each area, each type of expenditure, and what are our needs going to be, staff wise? What are we proposing for that period of time? And then we come up, and the budget within the state has two primary categories: operations and aid. Operations include staff salaries, benefits, anything related to staffing of our programs. And then, of course, the things that you would think of as operations, the buildings, the cars, the paper, paper clips, the publishing of brochures, costs for all our computers and technology, etc. All of that is operations. Then government aid is specifically funds that are aid to individuals, which in our case, the Voc Rehab Agency case, that's tuition for continuing education. It's products or gadgets that we provide to people, whether it's technology, whether it's a low vision device, whatever it might be, that's included in aid. Anything either purchased for or provided specifically to clients individually or as a group. You know, if we put on a group program, that's considered aid versus operations. So that's just kind of the overview. The current budget for 2009, which is what we're in now, is $4,404,345. That's the total for what they call the base year. And then in the budget proposal, you go from that base year and then request for the next 2 years. We have two portions of our proposal. One is just kind of as we exist today, our program as it looks today. And then another part, which is with issues. And issues is anytime you kind of have something really new that you want added. In some years we don't have issues. But this year, Senior Blind Project is our issues portion. So the increase that we're looking at, or the funds that we're looking at for 2010 without the issues, okay, just for the basic, we're requesting $4,331,863 for 2010 and $4,404,255 for 2011, which actually is a little bit less, but that's because then there's more emphasis on the issues portion, which now I'll tell you about. The what we're going to request for the senior blind program at this point, we still can, you know, this is not set in stone, but this is what we're looking at, $194,271 for the senior blind project for 2010, and then $390,440 for 2011. And most of that, some of it's operations kinds of things, but most of it is to add the first year an orientation counselor or home teacher in each of the three districts, to increase the amount of staff support that we have, and to add a technology specialist that would be specific to the senior blind project in the first year. Then the second year, increasing that so that we would have two orientation counselors in each district that was dedicated to working with the senior blind and some other things. But those are the main components of that proposal. That's the overview, and now we can go wherever you'd like to with discussion of budget issues.
I don't know where this belongs, but without sharing a lot of personal information, but you get looking ahead, are there a lot of staff members who will be retiring soon? Are we going to have to hire new people? Or?
We've been looking at that. Many of us have been around for a long time and are aging.
Didn't know how to ask that.
Right, no. Jeez. And, of course, you don't know for sure.
Right.
Many of us will work well beyond when a person could retire. And some of us will retire the second we get the chance. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't know till people actually put in their resignation letter.
Yeah, same thing as with schools. Something you think about.
So. Yes, definitely. We have looked at when people would or could retire out in terms of getting Social Security. Now, with the state retirement, you have to have some years in, but age 55 is the point. And right now, we'd have a bunch of us, if that's what it was, we'd be gone. But, you don't get your Medicare insurance coverage. So so most people don't do that, or if they do, they work another job. At any rate, I think it's 2017 is the year that is the biggest when a very large group of our staff would be Social Security retirement age. It might be off a year or two, but and then we have looked at each year, potentially what's the change there, which I can't tell you off the top of my head. Right. But yeah, we're looking at that. One of the things is that we have to consider is that it's going to cost us money when people leave, because we do the state provides the benefits. I think it's a quarter of your sick leave and whatever vacation leave you have. And many of our staff have a lot of vacation time saved, a lot of sick leave saved. So each person that leaves, we might have vacancy savings for a bit, but we'll have to pay pay for each one who goes. So the benefits are really pretty good, and but it does take some planning.
So, Daryl, was that your way of trying to find out when Pearl's going to retire?
No, I just want to know. If I can get by 2017, I can get some of those senior blind services, so you better have some staff.
Right. Yeah. In general, our plan is, as people leave, that to the extent that we can, we'll replace people. We may, well, each year, we always look at where are caseloads, where is the work. Do we need to shift some more people here to there? So that's kind of an ongoing thing that we would continue to do.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm just wondering, what kind of a feel did you get from the Appropriation Committee senators? Are you getting any kind of boy, I don't think we're going to have trouble with him, or, you know, that they're not going to be amenable to what we would like to do, or getting any kind of a feel for it?
Sure. The governor spoke with the directors of agencies a few months back. I think I sent that out to, well, I know I sent it out, what his comments were. He would like, to, at that point, he was saying, he would like to see a zero increase from every agency, except for education and Medicaid, because they have to. However, from senators, I mean, they are aware of that. They are aware of a desire by many people to keep the, not to just every year just automatically increase every agency. But they also are very conscious about the impact that our services have. And they've been very interested to hear the results of the work that Deanna and Bob are doing and the people that are out there. And in fact, I brought along a journal, Lincoln Journal Star article that was last Monday, relating to the state trying to cut Medicaid costs, and that's one of the huge costs that is just growing tremendously, and part of why the governor is so much emphasizing decreasing any other increase, because it Medicaid is just growing astronomically. The state is spending $80 million on to provide Medicaid care for clients. For each person, it's about $50,000 per year of Medicaid. That does not include prescription costs. So obviously the state, mostly through Health and Human Services, is spending huge, huge amounts of money in this. And the state actually has contracted with a company to try to identify those that have multiple chronic conditions to see how Medicaid costs could be cut. In fact, last year the state spent $1.45 billion on Medicaid, with about 60% of the money coming from federal and then 40% state. Anyway, clearly there is money and it's spent where it's needed to be spent. And what we are really demonstrating with our senior blind and even with our voc rehab services, when we help individuals to, I don't care what age they are, for seniors it's even more crucial, because that means nursing home placement, which is far more expensive. But even SSI and those kinds of supports for people at all ages, when our services can work with a person, keep them off of those roles, have them working, paying taxes, earning money, consuming in the community, because they're earning money, they can go to those football games and spend money. Anyway, so we really do have the potential for making an impact to decrease those billions of dollars. You know, so we, you know, that's kind of what we're saying to senators. And they, on the one hand, they say, well, yeah, everybody says that they'll decrease this or that. But we're really developing some quite concrete information for the senators and the governor. And so, you know, we're
good.
Yeah, positive awesome. That this is going to make a difference.
I noticed that one of the senators emailed back and said that he would like to tour this fall. He didn't want to do it this summer. But, and I thought, boy, that's a really good sign, because I think any time we get them in there to see what's really going on, I mean, really get the picture of it, I think that's always an excellent thing.
Right. It's also, we're really encouraging the senators we meet with, and we would encourage all of you to talk with your policymakers. Tour the center, if they can, when they're in Lincoln, but also if they could go with you to, or with one of our staff, to, you know, spend a day with us and go in the field and tag along with one of our teachers and counselors and program specialists and, you know, and really see what we do out there. That makes a huge difference.
That's a very good idea. I didn't think of that, but that really is a good idea.
Yeah, so we really encourage people to do that. It's hard to know how much more detail to go into, but we really, we spend a lot of time sorting through how much did we spend on something, you know, could we do more, could we do less. This past year we have been able to spend a lot of funds from Social Security reimbursement, but we can't build that into our budget because we don't know every year. You know, we believe and we know that whenever people get off of SSI, Social Security Administration does reimburse us for everything we spent for that client. But we can't guarantee, you know, when will people get jobs, when will that happen, and so we can't plan on that. But that allows us, when we have those funds, it allows us to go beyond the basic budget and do the workshops that maybe are pretty costly but have a huge impact, and things like that. So,
so what I hear you saying is pretty positive. I mean, you're talking about perhaps adding rather than, you know, cutting staff and cutting things, and, you know, that does at least sound, you know, somewhat reassuring that we have that, you know, at least that, what is it, for 2 years, that possibility.
Right. With the senior blind project, that's what we're going to propose.
And
yes,
with the two-term limitations, boy, it's really an ongoing thing getting to know the senators and who will be there and who will not be there.
Yes, and actually that's going to be crucial for all of the public. And I'll put this on public record if people are listening. The senators have so much they have to learn about, and with the term limitation, their time to get everything is really short. And so they appreciate people from across the state informing them, you know, bringing them up to speed on different things. So the staff alone, even the commission board alone, can't do it all. And so the consumers are just really important to talk to your people.
Okay. I thought the narratives that you sent out were good. And now, what do we need to do? Do we need to approve this biennium?
Yes, I would. I mean, there's no official requirement, but I think that it is wise for you to officially endorse the where we are with this, understanding there will probably be some changes as we get a little closer to finalizing. Even in the narrative, I learned 2 days before when the deadline was to have the draft online. And, of course, I'd been working on it, but anyway, so I did not get the senior blind portion into that with even what I sent you. So, you know, there's work to be done, but if you would consider just endorsing where we're at, and, of course, if you have suggestions, we'll compute those into the mix. But
I move for endorsing the budget proposal as it stands right now.
Second. It was second or twice, that's a four.
Okay. Are there any comments or anything that we'd like to suggest? Anybody? Okay, in that case, we'll take a roll call. Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Wes?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
And I concur, so that's unanimous for you.
Thank you very much.
Have at it.
That's got to be.
I appreciate your work on it.
We will all do our best to get to our senators and encourage them, especially if they're on the appropriation committee, to do what we can. Okay.
Thank you.
I think the next thing is the NIST update.
Yes. There were changes to NIST for employees accessing their pay stubs. You might remember a little while back, the state stopped providing any paper pay stubs. It's all online. And Wes Majerus worked to assure the accessibility of those. He sent us instructions for accessing the pay stubs, instructions for working with JAWS, and that's also on the NIST main page under some training instructions. So we really appreciate Wes for your work on that. A new version of NIST has just been put into place, and Wes is working with our staff computers to install the new, it required some new JAWS scripts, and then also we learned that we have to have a specific version of JAWS on each computer in order to do this. And if there's any of that I am misstating, Wes, I hope you'll correct me, but basically it's, they keep changing it a little bit, and we have to stay on top of any of those changes that need to happen in terms of accessibility. Wes, would you add anything to that?
I think you have it pretty much right there. You know, installing scripts and making sure that people know how to print their pay stubs. We just reformatted also the way the pay stub looks. If you pull it up in a spreadsheet, I analyzed test data, and we gave NIST advice on how they could make it more readable as a blind spreadsheet user. That was just put into place a few weeks ago.
Thank you.
Very good. Anything else on NIST?
Would this be a point to discuss the future of NIST?
Yeah. Please do.
Wes?
I want to go on record. I'm sure a lot of you guys probably already know. I was offered and decided to accept a position in Baltimore, Maryland, with the International Braille and Technology Center of the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. I'll be starting that position in early September, right after Labor Day. And so at that point, I feel that it would be appropriate to relinquish my duties as commissioner. I will be working with President Burrish of the NFB to find a suitable replacement. I'll, put in my paperwork with the governor. And at this point, from a NIST standpoint, I won't be working for the state of Nebraska, so I don't know what to tell you for the future at this point.
And I'll speak to that, but I wanted to give you that time first. Thank you for sharing that publicly. We're going to miss Wes Majerus in NIST,
no,
I'll tell you that. But I'm very pleased with the administration, the chief information officer's office. They have let us know they're looking for, first of all, somebody to begin immediately doing the kind of testing that West does. And they'd like to identify somebody right away that so that West could have a day or two to do some training for the individual. We have been talking with counselors and staff around the state and consumers to, you know, find out who might be interested. Of course, we know some of the individuals that have technology expertise, and so we're trying to get names over. But I don't know if somebody will be really put into place immediately. So even if folks are hearing this later, I would just encourage anybody who has that interest to, you can let me know and I'll get your name to the right people or whatever. But they do, they immediately, when they got Wes's news, they emailed me and Bill Brown and said, you know, get us some names. We need to keep this moving. So they have that commitment.
I'm glad that they know where to look. I mean, where to try to get the information from.
Yes.
Has that job, either Wes or Pearl, been posted publicly?
No.
Okay.
Wes has just recently, you know, made up his mind about this, so.
Yeah, I was offered the job on the 28th of July, and so. Not long after.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. And,
mixed
feelings.
They're giving us some luck, and they're getting a very good employee. There's no question about it.
Yes.
They really are. And
well, you have to do what you have to do. So.
Exactly.
It seems like to me a lot of good Nebraska blind people go to Baltimore. It's happened before.
Yeah. Well, they go elsewhere, too.
This is true. They do.
Better
they do. They do.
That's right.
But Nebraska seems to be a wealth of good, talented people that go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So that's NIS.
Okay, so anything else on NIS? Okay, NFB Newsline, I don't know if any of you guys got her email. She sent it last night, I believe, and I was able to go through it. So if you haven't got it, it will be in your inbox when you get home if you don't have a computer with you right here.
Is there a way to try to get that report in earlier?
I will. I will try.
A week ahead of time.
I will make that suggestion to Jamie.
That's
the next
fine.
Time I send. I send her out. I send out about a month ahead of time. I send out a notice to her that we need a report because I think it's only fair that we give her a reminder.
Oh, absolutely.
But
I know you have no control over when she sends it, but it would be.
But
helpful.
But I can suggest gently. You know. I know
Excuse
Jamie quite
Nancy,
well.
Nancy, that did not come to me, so would you send that on to me as
yes,
well?
Yes, I will. And you know
okay.
what? I'm going to ask from now on, I've kind of been remittent about doing that, that it really should go to Kathy and you both, but I will send you both a copy of that.
Thank you.
And I only make, I kind of briefly went through it, and I won't give you all the stats and stuff that she had, but one of the comments, she said that there was a big change to the Channel 2, and she said the format is now totally different, and I don't know if totally different, but different, updated, better, that has an option list that one is the NFB notices and conventions and a message from the NFBN president, Amy Burish, and so on. And another area is for other organizations like the ACB and any other blind organizations that wish to have comments or whatever there, or notices, whatever they may be. And the third one is that can be info from the commission board and, of course, the commission and programs and events and so forth. And it struck me when I read that, I wonder if we ever put up what our focus topic, I'm assuming that we put that, when our board meetings will be there.
Yes, that goes.
And I'm wondering if we should put something like what our focus topic was going to be for the day, and that might entice somebody to maybe not, but I...
Is that part of our...
It's on the website, focus topics. I believe it's just the meeting announcement, the public meeting notice.
But the public meeting notice could include the topic.
It definitely could.
Yeah, yes. That's a good idea to have that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the fourth choice was public transportation things, and she was real happy to know that the Lincoln Tram, because Star Tram, I don't know what that's called, the bus system in Lincoln, is their new schedule and some, you know, so that's more updated. And she's hoping that, you know, more bus services and public transportation can be listed there so people have a place to go so that, you know, they know what's going on, because those things tend to change, and it would be helpful to blind people to know that I'm going to be getting off on 16th Street instead of the usual 14th Street or whatever it is, if, you know, whatever's changed. So that was one of the things, and she said she's always looking for suggestions and articles and anything else that we'd like to send to her as public, you know, flying public altogether, not just specifically the board or the commission or whatever. So that was basically, and you know, her usual staff were in there, and I will, like I said, the commissioners will have that in their inbox, but I will send it to Pearl and Kathy when I get home. Let's see, I think the next thing is client assistance programs, complaints and issues.
There were no complaints or issues this quarter.
Okay, that's a good thing.
I want that noted. That's the quickest agenda item we dealt with.
Yes.
And it probably will be.
That shaved off 5 minutes.
That's great.
And let's see, the next,
survey, I think.
Oh, the survey. Yeah, the staff survey, the changes, and...
Can I request that we wait until after lunch to do that? I have a rough draft here that I would like to present to review, but I don't think it's going to be a five-minute thing.
Okay, that's perfectly legitimate, and I shouldn't have done that, but I didn't anticipate that, you know, we didn't do a lot, and I didn't get any comments, and all of a sudden, boom, Julie sent some good ideas. Jim has been working on it. I kind of worked on it myself a little bit, so...
Madam Chairman,
yes.
If I may say, that 15 minutes is allowed on the agenda for that. It's
minutes?
Not a five-minute.
Okay, I don't think it's going to be a 15-minute thing.
No, right. But I also agree with Julie. It is now 12, and the lunch is being set up. Is it ready yet?
Yes.
Okay, so the lunch is here.
Okay,
and
so
can I ask a question?
Very quickly,
can I ask a question?
Yes.
What do you folks, and I understand all this, Matt.
Yeah.
What do you folks think about a working lunch?
It's okay with me if it's okay with, the thing is we've got to allow Kathy to eat.
Well, I understand that.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
That we take about 15 minutes, we can
cut the lunch break and
have some time. Idea we wouldn't need to be all done eating, but we could get some of our eating, we could walk down the hall, which most of us need to do, and then perhaps 15, 20 minutes from now.
Right, because, those surveys are going to take a while.
That's reasonable. Right.
You know, and we all want to get out of here before 9:30 tonight. So.
Well, Dan's going to buy us supper on the way home.
Bring my pajamas.
I thought I would, and I sent it in for reimbursement.
Okay, so we will jump ahead and break for lunch.
Okay.
That's fine. And, he must have something. I'll send it for reimbursement. I don't know. No, I wouldn't do that. I got to get home.
Do you have